the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions. Hey, welcome to R&R. It's good to be with you again this Tuesday afternoon. Jacob, how are you today?
I'm doing good so far.
Well, that's good to hear. We are here in studio with DJ Roy.
DJ Roy.
And we are looking forward to spending this next half hour discussing what, Jacob?
Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about different attributes and doctrines of God. And so what we're talking about today is, and we'd love to hear your opinion on this, what misunderstanding of God or misunderstanding of God's character do you think is hurting the local church the most?
Okay, that's a good question. Say that one more time. It's kind of a long question.
All right, it's kind of long. So because we've been talking about the attributes of God and God's character and what's true or not true about those, what misunderstanding of God's character do you think is hurting the local church the most?
Okay.
In other words, what's a misconception or something that people just don't get about God that you think is hurting the church?
It's hurting the church in whatever way, in terms of not reaching people with the gospel.
Yes.
Just the way we do church. It's hurting the church. Okay. All right. So call in. We want to hear what you have to say. 919-775-1050. 919-775-1050. Well, Jacob, let's talk about that. What do you think in terms of one aspect of God that's hurting the church the most?
I think
misunderstanding of God.
Misunderstanding. I think if the first thing that comes to my mind is it's not so much a misunderstanding of a specific one, but I think that different churches and different people will pick one attribute of God that they like or that they're comfortable with, and they'll focus so much on that it's to the detriment of the other one. So some people only focus on, you know, God is love, God is love, you know, God's all loving. Or maybe somebody focuses on, you know, God's holiness too much. Or, you know, we need to look at the whole picture of God. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But I want us to also, we've talked about that, and I think that's a really good observation that just tends to happen. Churches do that. Denominations, even in individuals, we tend to maybe fixate on a particular attribute of God that we really like.
And we never fixate on the ones we don't like. Have you noticed that?
No, we tend to ignore those. But let's think about this too, Jacob, and the way that you phrased the question. If you had to pick one attribute that's misunderstood to the degree that it's hurting the church the most, what would that be?
All right, if I had to pick one, I'm going to say that people misunderstand God's power, how powerful God is. And you might think, well, yeah, I mean, everybody thinks God is powerful. There's no, like, church out there, I don't think, that's going, he's so-so. But what I mean by that is a lot of times when churches are making plans, deciding what to do, deciding what they can or cannot do, when they're coming up with those factors and equations, they don't factor in God's power. And so instead of saying, we serve an awesome God who's all-powerful and will provide for his church when we do ministry, a lot of times we kind of go, let's look at the budget and come up with a marketing plan, and I don't look at the liability, and I just don't know if that's a good idea. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
We forget how powerful God is, and sometimes I think that it hurts the local church because we don't do some of the things we should be doing because we're timid or scared.
Okay, so it hurts the local church, this lack of understanding of how powerful God is, because people in the church tend to not come up with a big enough vision.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Oh, we got a caller already.
All right, welcome to the R&R Show.
Hey, thanks.
So what do you think about our question? What aspect or attribute of God, however you would term it, is hurting the church the most? What misunderstood attribute of God is hurting the church the most?
I'm thinking a lot of it is God's presence. That, you know, I think we see church involvement on Sundays, you know, as if God is just checking an attendance box. or something, and not necessarily understanding that God is also Monday through Friday, Saturday, whatever other days of the week.
I got you. So people are kind of saying faith, you know, my religion is a Sunday thing. God's at the building. God is at church. So that only takes place right. on Sunday. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes.
It's kind of like yours, Jacob, in the sense that I think our caller is saying that we tend to put God in this box, maybe this Sunday only box.
Yep.
Or like
yeah.
you were saying, we misunderstand his power because we think he can only do so much and he's limited in what he can do or wants to do. And so that's an interesting take on it.
Caller, how do you see this hurting the local church? Like, what are you kind of picturing there?
Well, I just think it limits what the church does, that if it's, you know, if it's just saying, well, I did my duty. I put on my suit. I showed up on Sunday morning. That's all that God needs me to do. You know, I'm good. It's almost like we treat God like a Santa Claus figure. You know, it's like, oh, I did my good deed for the week, but not necessarily understanding that the local church, you know, we're understanding that this is a Christian community, that there's more to faith than just checking that box of attendance.
Gotcha. Kind of hard to turn the world upside down and reach your city, you know, with the gospel if you're only limiting it to one day, right?
Right. If I'm just a Christian on Sundays, but I'm just a normal person every other day of the week, how is that going to impact anybody, right? Nobody sees me going to church necessarily, and if that's the only thing that I'm relying on, then I'm not doing what I need to do to further God's kingdom.
All right.
All right. Thank
you.
We
appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the call. You know,
sure.
I would say that maybe 20, 30 years ago, Jacob, I might agree with that assessment. I think, though, in the way things are now in our culture, I think I don't think there's any kind of desire to even put on a show to go to church. I mean, there still are some, like our caller said, you know, we'll put on the suit and we'll check the box and we'll go to church. But I think that used to be more of an issue when we had more of a Christian culture, if that makes sense. I think now it's just, they don't even put the suit on, or they don't even show up. People just don't even think about their having a box to check.
Do you feel like, I don't know what decade we're talking, maybe in the 70s, you think in the 70s that it was just kind of like expected that most people went to church? Like, I feel like back then you were weird if you didn't go, but now
right.
it's like you're weird if you do go.
Well, of course, you know, we're talking about the culture in the sense that there's one overarching American culture, but there's
yeah.
not. There are a lot of these little subcultures depending on where you live. But I would say, okay, let's take the South, for instance. Yes. And if you go back to the 70s, when I was a wee lad, I think there was more of a pressure to do that. There was more of an expectation that, yes, this is the thing that we do. Church is a part of life. And it was more noticeable if you didn't go to church in many places in the South and other places in our country than if you did go to church. Today, I think it's almost the reverse.
Yeah. Okay, so I picked misunderstanding how powerful God is. The caller picked misunderstanding God's presence. Sam, if you had to pick a misunderstood attribute or part of God's character, what would you pick?
Okay, so if I hadn't seen this short video by Sinclair Ferguson pretty recently this week, not too long ago, I may have come up with a different answer to this question, but I just want to share what he said because it just got me thinking. He was asked of this question, and he said the most misunderstood attribute of God is God's fatherhood, the fact that God is Father. And listen to what he said about this. He said that if you go to most people and ask them, what is God like? Most people would say, oh, God is love. God is love. But he said, we have to find a very nice and gentle way to let those persons know they're lying through their teeth. Many of them, most of them. And here's his reason for that. He says, if they really believed that God is love, if they really understood the fact that he is a loving father, they would want to spend time with him. They would want to be involved in worship. They would want to be involved in ministry. But many people that will just flippantly say, off the cuff say, that God is love, he said, they don't really believe it, because if they did, they'd be living differently. And then he ties that into this idea of God as Father, and how the Bible shows God to be this loving, caring Father that is so attractive that if we really understood the fatherhood of God, we would be drawn to Him. And so many people are living as if he doesn't exist. I thought, you know, that of course makes me think of Luke chapter 15, where Jesus gives the parable of the prodigal son. And we even people that aren't involved in church life are probably familiar with this parable about the father who had the two sons. And remember, the younger one goes to his father and says, "Father, I want you to give me my inheritance now," right? And the father does it. He gives the younger son the inheritance. And what happens, Jacob?
He goes off to another country and squanders it on wild living.
That's right. That's right. And then he hits bottom. He's eating there with the pigs. And he says, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to, instead of starving, I'll arise and go to my father and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" And so he gets up and he goes back to his father. And then we have this picture of the father that it says here in verse 20 of Luke 15. "But while he was still a long way off, the younger son, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." That's such a beautiful picture of God, the father in this parable. And if we really understood this, I think, Jacob, we would see us living much differently.
Well, can you give us some examples of what you mean? Right.
Well, I think people, many people perhaps understand, they might say God is love, but they also understand this idea of righteousness and the reality of judgment. We carried it around in our nature. We understand that God is also a judge. He's a judge, but he's a father when we repent. And so the prodigal son story is, it's all about grace. It's all about forgiveness. And if we will repent of our sins, no matter how far we've fallen, we have a heavenly father that is waiting to forgive us. And so if we truly meditated on that, if we understood that like we should, I think our churches would be much healthier.
Okay. All right. Here's another one that I would pick. Sam, do you think that a lot of folks, you know, at the local church have misunderstandings about God's holiness? That's one that I think of.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know, if I hadn't heard Sinclair, that's the one that I would have picked.
Okay. All right. So, you know, like, you know, several times throughout the Bible, God tells his people, "Be holy because I'm holy." Like, we hear it in 1 Peter, which the church is studying on Tuesday nights, by the way. And we also see it in Leviticus. God throughout the Bible tells his people, "I'm holy and I want you to be holy." And so I think a lot of people, you know, we've talked about holiness before, they don't really know what that means, or they don't understand how that applies to God. But, you know, just here's an example. And I hope this is okay. We're just kind of going off the cuff today. I had a conversation with one of the kids in youth group a while back, okay, Sam? And we're talking, and he's like, "Well, you know, have you watched Game of Thrones?" And I said, "Nah, man, haven't watched Game of Thrones." And he was like, "Well, you know, me, my mom and dad, we sit around, we love watching this together." And, you know, this is not a very PG-13 show. I mean, this is like, it's pretty... I mean, I would call it pornography, but anyway. So I asked this kid, I said, "Hey, you watch that show with your parents?" "Yeah, we love it." I said, "Isn't it full of, like, you know, nudity and things like that?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "And you're watching this with your mom in the room? You know, this is weird to me." He goes, "Well, yeah. I said, "Does it bother you guys that you watch that kind of stuff?" You know, I said, "You guys are Christians. Does it bother you that you're watching that kind of thing?" And his response was, "Hey, man, Jesus loves stories. You know, this is just a great story on TV." Like, it didn't seem to phase the kid at all that the God he worshipped was holy, and yet he's watching smut on TV. Like, is that a good example, you think?
of a misunderstanding, yes, of misunderstanding the holiness of God. Yes, and there are, unfortunately, there are a lot of stories like that out there, Jacob. And I think, you know, to say that a misunderstanding of God is his fatherhood is to take into account the fact that he is a loving father, but he's a holy father. You have to understand that. And maybe, you know, maybe part of the, when I hear you tell that story, I just wonder, okay, so is this family involved in a church where they actually have Bible studies, where they talk about what the Bible teaches on sexual immorality, what that is? Do they, are they involved in church life? Do they have Christian friends that, I mean, I don't understand it.
The thing that struck me is not even about what show they were watching, because mm-hmm. every channel has trash. I mean, I'm not picking on that one show, but it was like there was a complete disconnect between their relationship with God and what they were viewing, partake. So the whole idea that God is saying, hey, I'm holy, I want you, my people, to be holy, it was like there was no, it just wasn't connecting there.
No,
I definitely think that over the years, the church has become much more tolerant of things like that, that in decades past, they would have pitched a fit about. And I feel like that has to be hurting the church, don't you?
Absolutely. If we if we're allowing ourselves to be drawn into immoral entertainment and it's infecting our minds, we're losing the battle, and it's going to make us weaker Christians. It's going to
hurt our witness for sure.
Well, certainly. And if we're losing the battle in the mind, we're losing the battle. There's no doubt about that. And I could tell you, there's a young couple at our last church, just speaking of Game of Thrones, where they would watch this, and we didn't find out. It surprised us. I mean, these were leaders in our church, and they were watching this. I've never watched an episode. I've only heard Kevin DeYoung talk about it and say that if you're a Christian, you should not be watching this, and here's why, for some of the reasons you just mentioned.
Yep. So, all right, what other? Oh, we got a caller. Great. Hey, welcome to the R&R show. Oh, they hung up. They were probably Game of Thrones fans and hung up on us. Sorry. Anyway, what other misconceptions can you think of other than fatherhood, the holiness of God, God's power? What else kind of jumps into your mind, Sam?
Well, those are big ones. You know, you mentioned earlier that the churches, individuals tend to emphasize one attribute of God to the neglect of others. And I think, you know, the love of God, it kind of dovetails with what we're talking about. But when people talk about God being unconditional love, this is what you'll hear. God loves everyone unconditionally. Well, in one sense, yes. He doesn't love us based on what we have done to earn righteousness. We can't earn forgiveness. We have to receive what Jesus did on the cross. But you see, in order to be loved in the sense of God being our Father, our Heavenly Father, in order to be adopted into His family, the condition is that we have repented. The condition is that we have trusted in what Jesus has done on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. So we like to talk about, I think, in our culture, unconditional love, but it's not. It cost God the sacrifice of His Son.
All right, looks like we've got another caller.
Welcome to the R&R show.
Hey guys, appreciate it. How about sovereignty? I think that's a very misunderstood attribute of God, that He's in control and how in control He is.
Okay, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a big word.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we pick and choose when we like God to be sovereign and when we would rather Him not be sovereign. So when things are going our way, you know, God's sovereign, He's in control. We can trust Him to be in control. But when things are going against our grain or against the way we plan things, maybe we don't see God as being as in control as He is. So I know it's a big word, maybe we could just pick it apart a little bit, but yeah, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on how people approach God's sovereignty.
That's a good observation. It is a good word to talk about. God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. And it's interesting, Jacob, because isn't that true that when things seem to be going well, it's okay to say that God is in control? But when we run into difficulties, we run into problems, things, circumstances in life that are tough for us to understand and explain, then all of a sudden, the fact that God is sovereign goes out the door.
It goes back to that comfort thing. You know, when your kid hits a grand slam at the baseball game, you know, God's sovereign. But then when you don't get the promotion at work, or when, you know, somebody gets a bad diagnosis, all of a sudden we don't want to talk about God being sovereign. Caller, you got any ideas how this might be something that hurts the church?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just look at what we're dealing with now. There's so many varying degrees of ways that people are approaching just COVID, and how sovereign is God in this COVID deal. And so it's polarizing. You have some who think this is a huge attack by the devil, and who we're under persecution. And then you've got others who are saying, hey, let's just rest in the sovereignty of God. He's in control. So, I mean, while it maybe it's good and bad, because it allows us to have some conversations that we need to have, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I think it's polarizing. It almost pits people against each other, not just with COVID, with any situation, especially when things happen that we don't plan, when we would rather not happen.
Right, right. So, is your view of the Bible that it teaches that God is sovereign, and that people are just kind of robots and everything's determined, or do you have a different view of that biblically?
No, people are not robots. I don't think we find that, but I do believe God is sovereign, and I don't believe there's a degree of sovereignty. You're either sovereign or you're not. So right. God is sovereign. That settles it. He's 100% in control.
Right.
That doesn't take away our free will or our responsibility, but that only cooperates with God's sovereignty.
Right.
We're not going against God's sovereignty. So
yeah, that's just
that would be my theology.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's common.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's my theology too. It's like you said, that God is sovereign. It's not 99% sovereign. It's 100%. But at the same time, the Word of God says that we have responsibility. Humans are responsible. So,
what's that book, Sam? There's a book by John Piper about missions and the sovereignty of God.
Let the Nations Be Glad.
Yes, that. I think that when the caller's talking about sovereignty, I think that could have a big effect on how we do missions and outreach and things like that. Thank you for calling in, caller.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Right, yeah, bye. Thanks. I think the last caller and the first caller's responses and yours, Jacob, to this question, get to this idea of, how do we view God? Is our view of God that he's a big God, or do we have this view of God that he's a little God? Do we view him as all-powerful, as all-present, as all-sovereign? Or do we have this small view of God where he's not really in control, he's limited in his power? And I can just see how all of these would influence the church either in a very positive direction or a very negative direction.
Yeah, I think that in order for a church to do what it's actually called to do, it's people have to be in awe of God. If you're in awe of God, you're going to want to serve him, want to tell others about him. You're going to want to share your faith. But like you said, a small God, if you're not in awe of God, you're not excited about God, you're not going to want to serve or give of your time or bring people and talk about that. If you had this smaller, lower version of God, it's not going to pan out. It's like trying to sell a product that you don't really like that much yourself, Can I share a story that's kind of related? We went on a mission trip a couple of years back, and me and a buddy were driving to the mission trip, and we saw a Popeye's chicken, and we were both like, hey, man, we have never eaten at Popeye's chicken. Let's stop in and try it out, because we keep hearing about it. So we walk into the Popeye's chicken. There's nobody in line. We walk up, and the cash register guy goes, hey, what can we get you guys? And we said, we have never been to Popeye's. What should we get? Or no, we said, we've never been to Popeye's. What should we do? He said, I'm going to tell you what. get back in your car. There's a KFC like 3 miles down the road. Like, the guy's working there and doesn't even like the chicken at Popeyes. And when you have a low, small view of God, yeah, when you have this really small view of God, you're like the guy at the Popeyes, man. You're just not excited about your own chicken. Nobody else is going to be excited about it.
Yeah, well, we don't want to be small God Christians. We want to have a right view of God, that he's a big God, and, you know, for many reasons, because that's the God the Bible depicts. He is a God that is sovereign. He is a God that's omnipresent, omnipotent. And, you know, when we use those terms, sometimes I think our eyes start to glaze over. And that's why I'm really intrigued, though, by my response based on what Sinclair Ferguson said. I think this idea of the fatherhood of God, if we truly had an understanding of God as Father, that so many would be so attracted to that, they'd be living much differently than they are today. But, Jacob, any concluding thoughts?
Well, I will say that Bojangles is definitely better than Popeye's chicken. Just throwing that out there. But, yeah, I would just encourage everybody to have the big view of God, and don't focus on the aspects of God that make you comfortable and neglect the ones that don't make you comfortable. Because probably, I know in my own case, the ones that make me uncomfortable probably reveals more about me and the things that I need to work on than it does God.
Good word. Well, we look forward to being with you again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Until then, God bless. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.